Hi, everybody, and welcome to our post 4th of July Saturday podcast. And I thought it's a perfect time. Here we go, getting ready for the All-Star break to bring in my favorite baseball writer in the country, senior baseball writer for Sports Illustrated, a baseball analyst for Fox and the MLB Network, Tom Verducci. So here we go. There's a couple of big storylines. Let's start with this. The Yankees, an incredible year despite a myriad of injuries. I saw yesterday Michael Kay, my buddy, his vocal cords even went on the fritz. Yet they've been able to maintain it. Does that speak to the Yankees' young talent? Does it speak to Aaron Boone? Does it speak to the Red Sox struggling? What do you make of the Yankees' first half, Tom?
Depth, man. They've done a great job. We know all about the star players. But the way they have supplemented that roster with some guys who they identified as undervalued, you know, the Gio Urshelas, the Luke Voits, the DJ LeMahieus of the world, that's what, I don't even want to say has kept this team afloat. That's kept this team just charging. I mean, you lose impact players like Judge and Stanton and Severino, and, you know, you're boat racing the division. That speaks to how good they've been at acquiring and developing people from outside the organization. So, Colin, when they're at full strength, man, that is one scary lineup. I will tell you this. I don't think there's been a lineup with more right-handed power. When the Yankees are at full strength, at least that I've seen, when they can run that A varsity lineup out there.
Now, we go back to the Red Sox winning the title last year, and it wasn't just that they won. But I can remember conversations listening to you and others, and rightly so, this was an all-time team in Boston. And now we're 8 months past that, and it's a team that's struggling. Is it a malaise in the first half? Is it to you, is it an enigmatic issue that's unsolvable by, you know, July and August?
Well, first of all, Colin, you're right about last year. It was a storybook season. Basically, they never had adversity. I mean, like, never the entire season. Came out of the gate strong and just rolled. It's been the opposite this year, and it is a malaise, starting with their choice in spring training to slow play their starting pitchers. They figured, well, these guys pitched the seventh month last year in October. We want to make sure these guys are strong for another October. So we'll essentially have them really get up to speed in the middle of April. And they pitched very little in spring training. Well, they came out of the gate slow because of that, especially Chris Sale, a little bit of David Price, but especially Sale and Porcello. They're still trying to catch up to get to midseason form. And the other thing, Colin, and listen, we know it's hard to repeat, right? Nobody's done it in the game since, what, 2000? And it's the longest stretch since we've had a World Series without a repeat champion. So there is something in today's game, besides the fact that there's more playoff rounds to jump through.
Yeah.
With today's athletes, right? And you're seeing it with Boston. Colin, they did very little to introduce any, I don't want to say hungry, but at least new blood into this consignment that they have here. So if the same player is thinking, hey, we're a World Series team. Everything worked great for us last year. We'll be fine. And to me, they've played without urgency, certainly without consistency, but without urgency. And they better start playing that way because the American League wildcard race now is starting to get crowded.
Let's move over to the National League and the Dodgers, best record in baseball. From the outside in, it is fairly remarkable. They have hit on so many good young players. And it's different positions. It's kind of shocking. I mean, I don't know what the and again, they've been so good for so long. It's not like they've had, you know, top three picks in the draft. But something about their scouting department, every young guy they bring in delivers. And, you know, it's a crapshoot. It's a crapshoot in all drafts, NFL, NBA. What do you make of the Dodgers' young players? Is their scouting simply better?
Yeah, I know this. They spend more money on, let's call it research and development, not just player development, but research and development, all the analytics, all technology, yes, and scouting as well. They spend by far more than anybody else in baseball.
Wow.
I'm told that number is about $20 million a year.
Wow.
So all their little incremental advantages begin to add up. They can go find a Max Muncy. They can take a Cody Bellinger who hit one home run as a high school senior, draft him, change his swing, and Rancho Cucamonga, and now he's going all Babe Ruth on us this year. So, yeah, they listen, Andrew Freeman, I thought, did a great job on a low budget in Tampa Bay. Now you're seeing what he can do when you give him essentially an unlimited budget.
You know, the Astros and the Dodgers, to their credit, they said no to Bryce Harper, no to Manny. A couple years ago, Dodgers said no to Zach Greinke. You know, and this is not to pick on, the Mannies and the Bryce Harpers, but the Astros and the Dodgers were very much into chemistry. Dodgers moved Puig out to Cincinnati because they thought there was a chemistry issue. Let's speak about Philadelphia now. Bryce is more strikeouts than ever. Phillies, I think it's fair to say, have underachieved. Bryce is, I think, you know, the defensive shifts are a little in his head. Could you make the argument that these Astros, these Dodgers, very reliant on analytics, are seeing something in these massive 10-year power hitter contracts, and that it may become a macro trend that the Bryce and the Manny contracts are not going to signal a new era in baseball? They may be cautionary tale contracts.
Yeah, I think you're onto something. And you could throw the Yankees in there. I know they dabbled on Machado. They really didn't have interest in Bryce. I wouldn't say they were, all in on Manny Machado, but they did talk to him, so they considered it. But yes, those teams you mentioned, especially Dodgers and Astros, they have their own way of valuing players, and they don't get carried away with the halo effect of getting a player the way the Angels did with Albert Pujols, the way the Tigers did when they extended Miguel Cabrera. It's about being essentially ruthlessly efficient.
Yes.
And these superstar players, let's face it, they're not efficient. Now, I will tell you this, Colin. Bryce Harper has brought buzz back into Philadelphia.
Yeah, their attendance is the attendance has been excellent for them.
Yes. So that, to me, is a hit for them in terms of just re-energizing that town that had been down. It's a great baseball town, but it had been down. He's done that. But Bryce Harper, to me, is Reggie Jackson. Would you say Reggie was one of the five best players in the game? No, but you know what? You wanted to go buy a ticket to watch him play.
Yeah.
And he might punch out four times. But even when he strikes out, you're going to go, wow, that was pretty cool.
Right.
And I think Bryce is that kind of player, and he has developed buzz. But if you're the Dodgers and the Astros, you don't really need that. You know, you develop your own star players, and you stay away from the super long-term contracts.
We've talked about, there's some analytical changes in the sport. I'm critical of the defensive shift. I think hockey doesn't let you sit in the crease. Basketball doesn't let you stand in the key, and football forces you to stand certain places. I don't love the defensive shift because I do think, guys like Manny Machado are taught to hit the ball down the middle their entire lives, and now it's an out. Bryce Harper, similarly. Where do you stand? I mean, the launch angle's here to stay. Where do you stand on the defensive shift, which, again, it creates sort of a strikeout home run league?
Yeah, you know what? It doesn't bother as much as it first did. First of all, pitching is so difficult to hit in today's game, and it's not just velocity. Guys are spinning the ball more than they ever have. So it's tough just to say, go ahead and hit the ball the other way.
Right.
I think it has taken away, especially singles. It's harder to get a single in today's game than ever in the history of the game. People
right.
just don't want them, first of all.
Yeah.
And then the defenses conspire against it. But I don't think if you waved the magic wand, took away shifts tomorrow, I don't think the game would look that much different, because this is how hitting is right now. And you touched on this, Colin. Guys want to get the ball in the air. I don't think if you took away shifts, all of a sudden they're going to hit the ball on the ground and go the other way and go for a five-hit rally. It's a boom or bust game right now. And the big question is, what do the fans think of it, right? Is there such a thing as too many home runs? Well, we're testing that this year, I can tell you that.
Yeah. Let's visit the Cubs. So I don't think there's any question that Theo Epstein's plan worked. And I don't think there's any question that Joe Maddon's considered a very academic, very bright guy. But I thought they were more successful quicker than even an optimistic baseball fan could be, considering Wrigley Field's not, from the star players I've heard through the years, ideal as a facility. And yet they got a World Series champion. But then, injuries, guys move. Where does Joe Maddon sit today? Because Theo Epstein's not going anywhere. Chicago's a demanding sports town, Tom. Where does Madden sit today in that hierarchy and his future going forward for the Cubs?
Well, as you know, he's on the last year of his deal. Yep. He's making a lot of money, and this is a team built to go to the World Series. And I think there'll be a lot of pressure on him if the Cubs at least don't get through a round, at least get to the National League Championship Series. You know, showing up for a wild card game and going home, that's not going to cut it. Maybe even losing in the first round might not cut it. Highly successful, as you mentioned, they're winning 90 games, they're winning division.
Yes.
But they're built to do more than that right now. You get to a point where you play at peak capacity, and anything less than that is just not acceptable. Now, I think he's still the right manager for this team, but as we saw in cases with Dusty Baker in San Francisco and Washington, or Torrey with the Yankees, there's a lifespan to managing a team. And we've seen managers, Joe Girardi's another one, right? Guy almost went to the World Series. They didn't bring him back. So I do think Theo Epstein, well, I know he's itchy right now with his team, and he has threatened changes to turn this thing around. And if they're going to go through a first wave of personnel changes, whatever they may be. I'm not saying they'll be earth-shattering, but figure out if they can fix this thing on the fly. And if they can't, then, yeah, Joe Madden will be talking about his job security in September.
Tom Verducci, senior baseball writer for Sports Illustrated, works for us at Fox and the MLB Network. To me, the best baseball guy in the country. Usually, I remember you writing an article about a decade ago that by late June, early July, you really do get a sense of the sport. Most of the teams that are in free fall will not recover. But baseball is very unique. We have concurrent dynasties in college football, in the NFL, in the NBA. Baseball's different. It's the only sport where a pitching staff can go down because of an arm injury. Brady doesn't have an arm injury, halfway through an NFL season usually. So it's very hard to predict in the postseason. How do the pitching matchups work? You may have a better team, but get a bad pitching matchup in a second playoff series. So is there a team to you now that may not lead a division, but when you look at their perhaps depth of starting pitching or their closers, or you think they are a team built for September and October, maybe a quirky team, do you have one now as we are celebrating the 4th of July weekend?
Well, it seems like we've been saying this for years, Colin, but the Washington Nationals, who've underachieved the first 2 months, man. I mean, again, line up their starting pitchers, right? Scherzer has gone all world on us this year. I think he's better than he's ever been. Strasburg may be better than he's ever been. And Corbin's been shaky, but the stuff is there. That's a team, when you talk about October, is the rare team with starting pitchers who can take you out just with starting pitching. So, listen, I don't have much confidence in the culture there because they just never seem to get it
right.
done.
Right, no, that's true.
On paper, yes. I think every team in the National League looks at the Nationals in the rearview mirror and say, these guys are coming. Where do they finish it off? I don't know. But, yeah, they're scary with their pitching.
And finally, the New York Mets, every league has one of these. I generally point to ownership when a team is consistently lax or underachieving. The Mets have really been a mess this year. Is it just as easy as the owners don't work, the owners aren't aligned with management? How do you explain another disappointing Mets team?
Well, first of all, Colin, globally, I'm with you. If you're talking about a team that consistently gets in its own way, not just underachieves, and you change managers and you change personnel and the DNA is the same, you have to look at ownership, and they have to take responsibility for that. So, listen, Brody Van Wagenen, they went outside the box with an agent, turned him into a GM. He was super aggressive. He won the offseason, and most of his moves now don't look good, right? They got a lot of headlines, not enough wins.
Right.
Now the point is, how does he pivot? I think they should put Noah Syndergaard on the trade market and see what they can get for him.
Okay.
I think big at this point. This team, to me, is not close to winning at this point. So, in a market where there's not a ton of great starting pitchers available, instead of you're still waiting for Syndergaard to really be what we all think he can be before the value goes down even further, I would at least put him out there, see what I can get, and start to pivot now and not hope you're going to make some Hail Mary wild card run.
By the way, who do you think would be interested?
A lot of teams. I think the Yankees might be interested.
Oh, Lord.
Yeah, I mean, the Yankees will get a starting pitcher.
Now, they're interested in Madison Baumgartner, perhaps.
Absolutely. Milwaukee Brewers be a perfect fit. I think Milwaukee and to a lesser extent Minnesota, but the Yankees, those three teams to me, by the time we're at August 1st, they will have added a starting pitcher.
By the way, I grew up with, at the time, one of the more improbable World Series winners, the Twins, Kent Herbeck, Kirby Puckett. I like to see the Twins. I think it's actually a really good baseball city. It reminds me of Golden State. The Warriors were bad for 30 years, but I always considered it a great basketball city. I think Minnesota's a great baseball city. You just got to give them a team that's competitive. Do you buy into the Twins?
Yeah. I bought into them in spring training, Colin. I was around them in spring training and saw the job that Rocco Baldelli, youngest manager in baseball, was doing. Picked them to win their division. I liked them more than Cleveland. It is a great baseball town. It's a great ballpark. But just remember, if they go to the World Series this time, you better bring your parka.
Yeah.
Last time we were indoors in Minnesota.
Yeah.
Late October in Minnesota, not exactly baseball weather.
Tom Verducci, Fox, MLB Network, SI. Great talking to you. Have a nice weekend.
Always a pleasure, Colin. Thanks.